people connect, families grow, lives exchange. People connect, families grow, lives exchange.
Turn with me to Genesis 22. A lot of people are shy, and you just got to break through it. Sometimes uncomfortable, awkward. How many of y'all are not shy? Raise your hand if you're not shy. How many of y'all are shy? Raise your hand if you are shy. Boy, yeah, there's a lot of shy people. Raise your hand one more time if you're shy, because I'm going to drill down on you. I'm going to get you, and we're going to get you over this shy thing. Genesis 22, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. It says, so Abraham took the wood and burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. How many know that's a pretty big deal? And the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, I see that. But where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my God will provide. Shout that with me. My God will provide. My God will provide. One more time. Shout it again. What? My God will provide the burnt offering. So the two of them went up together, and then they came to the place of which God had told them. I love that. God had a specific place for them to go. And Abraham built an altar. Notice, God didn't build it for him. Who built it? Abraham did. Abraham built the altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar with the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hands and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to heaven and from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, don't lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear the Lord. You regard him, you respect him. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked in the thicket. There he found the lamb. He looked. God will provide. Now there's a lot of significance in it being the seventh day of the new year. I didn't know this until I preached a sermon that you'll see in a few weeks called The Door. Or earlier in the fall, I was praying, and that's a good thing to do. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to do a series called Doors. And so the first one's kind of one of those mini movies. It's epic. It's the best we've ever done. And so we went down to the city and found these really cool houses with cool doors, and we found this one door. It's just beautiful. It looks like the door that Jesus walked through in all the paintings. You know, I'm talking about that round door. I just preached the fire out of this door, that this year is the door of opportunity, and God's going to open new doors of opportunity for you, and knocking the door will open. And this thing is just unbelievable. It's a total stranger. We don't even know this guy. Let us choose his house. And Morgan just knocked on the door, and he didn't know us, never heard of us, said, yeah, you can shoot it here. The day we went to shoot, he said, hey, something unexpected happened, but here's my house. It's open. Here's the key. We're like, you've got to be kidding me. This guy doesn't even know Jesus, and he trusts a preacher in his house. But we just tore the fire out of that sermon, and then now, that's weeks ago. It's ready. It's almost ready to go, but I shot it weeks ago. And then it turns the new year, and I saw something. Somebody sent me something, an email that said, and they didn't know anything about me preaching The Door. And essentially, I'll just read just a smidgen from this prophet in Israel. She says, January 1. As I sit here today, January the 1st, 2014, in the cool air of Jerusalem, several thoughts come to mind. It is a privilege to be in the land where Jesus was born, lived, crucified, and resurrected. This is the year of full extremes, when in the Hebrew context of the calendar, it's the year of 5774, which has significant meaning. We're living in a decade of revelation and response. It is also known as the year of the door. The year of the door. Can you believe that the Hebrew calendar is very significant to everything God is doing in the world. I don't study the Hebrew calendar, but I know it's legit. But then God speaks to me in the fall, to just a few weeks ago, and preached the door, and I don't even know it is the door. How many know you can be stupid and uneducated, and God can still slam the door wide open for you? Come on, raise your hand in here. The Hebrew picture of the year of 2014 is a hanging door in a movement, entering inside and outside. In Exodus 33, the people stood at the doorways of their own tent and watched, some willing to observe and participate, and others from a distance. Now, let me tell you the meaning of all this. God has this church positioned prophetically where everything we have ever done or ever will do, God willing, please, Holy Spirit, don't ever like take your anointing from us. It's done in the Spirit. So the fact that we didn't know that it was the year, Hebrew year of the door, and we've already got it taped, and God's launching us into the door. It's going to be the coolest series ever. Doors everywhere. Doors of opportunity. When it's done, y'all will be trying to buy the doors off the stage. It is a movement of the year of the open door. Now, overlay, God speaks to us over the last 10 years and says, I want you to build one church. So we did. Then he spoke to me to build two churches. Then he speaks to me in the year of the open door. And when he's speaking to me, he's speaking to you. And he says, I want you to launch two of them. We did. Took 10 years to do two. Launch two more churches for Aaron, a representative of 94,000 people or whatever it is in Palm Beach this week, in 23 or 24,000 in St. Louis. He is a representative of that audience. People that you and I will never see on this side. But God asked us, the church, to pray, to fast, to seek him, to be committed, to serve, so that you and I, just like Abraham, could bring our sacrifices to the Lord, and he could look at us just like he looked at Abraham, and he says, and now I know that you're willing to give it your all. I was so blessed last Tuesday night when we called the night of worship. I didn't know if anybody would show up. We had the biggest crowd we've ever had, and you all came, and I know a lot of you would be here tonight, but you're snowed in. This church is on fire. We're walking through new doors. Why? So we can have more parking lots to plow? I don't think so. Why? So we can have more facilities to maintain? No. Why? So we can have more seats to deal with? Why? So we can have more air conditioning problems? No, we're doing this because God so loved the world. Don't think just religious right now. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, which is a shadow. This is what Abraham was doing. This was a shadow of what God wanted to do. Abraham gives his only son. God gives his only son. And then he says those words. And now I know. A while ago, you were probably somewhat saddened and hurt, and your heart panged when you saw Aaron up here. Raise your hand if you felt that pain. Just think about God. God, who every moment sees someone saying, God, help me. God, I'm losing my mind. Give me a sign. Well, most churches are so political and so bound that you have to get 15 people to try to get. I see it all the time. It's like I saw an email the other day because I get all pastor emails, right? And it said, what do you do when the church is in gridlock searching for a new pastor and the church can't agree? And I said, oh, thank you, God. We don't have to deal with that crap. I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you're gone, come back. Because we're here on a movement, an open door for the Holy Ghost who meets all of our needs, and he provides a ram in the thicket. Now, here's the good news. You're the church, and you might be afraid right now. What am I going to do? I lost my girlfriend. What am I going to do? I lost my job. What am I going to do? Whatever you do, don't lose your mind. Understand that God provides a ram in the thicket, and he's going to meet your needs. In this year, seventh day, year of an open door. That's it. There are times when God wants to do something in a leader's life, and you are a leader. And here's what he does. Number one, he does this. Leaders get tested each step of growth. Number one, they'll probably put it on the screen for you if they have it. I know they do have it because I shipped it to them. Number one, everybody shout, number one. I'll say it slow so you can write it down and you at home. Leaders get tested at each stage of growth. Now, there are unique times in life. We're there right now. Where God positions you for something new. How many of y'all are ready for something new? You're ready for something different. Here's what happens. If we continue to do the same things you did last year, you're going to get the exact same things, maybe less because it's watered down. But if you do something different, you're going to get something different. Now, when the Lord raises the tide in the bay, all the boats go up. And the Lord has raised the water and the tide in the bay of this church, and you're a part of this church, and expect as God provides the ram in the thicket for this church, that God is going to provide the ram in the thicket for you who are the church. The church is not a building. The church is you. Shout, I am the church. One more time, I am the church. So number one, leaders get tested each step of the way. When God was going to do something new in Abraham's life, God tested him. There's always a test. And number two is the leader's goal is to pass the test. The leader's goal is to pass the test. How many of y'all hope that you pass the test? Well, how do you pass for the test? Well, you need to study for the test. And here's the good news. This is an open book test. How many of y'all glad for open book test? It's right here. But what's interesting is that, and I wish I had it. It's up in my office right now. Actually, I think I do have it. This is deep stuff. If you're looking for a pretty sermon tonight, I could have given you one of those. But this is a state of the address of the church. This is spiritology. This is the Holy Ghost moving in your life. This is how we got this building. This is how we got on television and preached to 130,000 people this week and didn't ask you for any money, and it was paid for by one donor. This is how it's done. This is the year of 2000, January the 27th, the year of 2000. It was a night like this. It was a Tuesday night. It was in Fenton at 1416 Larkin Williams Road. I spent all my life at this church, and there's about the same amount of people that was here tonight because it's a snow night. But this is a big crowd for that church. This has been packed. And I say this to my dad. I don't believe I've ever prophesied to my dad, nor do I necessarily feel equalness at all. So right now I'm taking off my shoes. I see in the spirit today, 3 years from now, I see in the year of 2003 that we're going to walk into a brand new level of anointing and a new league of ministry that we've never walked before, and it will be because of the decisions that I've made. Because we're not stepping down and doing the regular things or the lazy things. We're going up. We're walking in a new rank of ministry and in the spirit. I see 3 years from now to the year of 2003 that this ministry will break forth on the right and the left and enter a new and national level, and it'll go to higher heights in a new realm that we never have seen before. For God tells me that he's pleased with the decisions that we've been making, and he's pleased with the obedience and the readiness of integrity in every area of our life. Don't let the devil distract you. We're going from glory to glory, victory to victory, faith to faith, in the name of Jesus. Now, that was 2000. And I saw in the spirit to the year of 2003. Now, I know it's wigging you out, especially if you're Catholic or Lutheran. You're like, what in the world have I got myself into? Let me tell you something. The psychics on TV, it's a counterfeit, because God does speak to men and women of God, and they can see things in the future that normal people can't see. You say, I'm afraid of a person that hears from God. Well, it's good, because I'm afraid of people who don't. So this is the year of 2000. I prophesied to the year of 2003. I had no clue that my dad would get deathly ill in the year of 2003 and he would be moved off the scene and we'd move into a new level of ministry. Had no clue. So the word of the Lord that hit me that day, I'm telling you right now, it hit me again this morning. At 5 a.m., the Lord woke me up and he spoke to me for 3 hours and told me where we're going. And I'm telling you, it's all good. Snowstorms shut us down. People get killed on the highway. Nobody can get to church. We can't. We don't have any income coming in. And I'm just crazy enough to go, I'm not even freaking out because the Lord provides a ram in the thicket and he meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's the way you got to be. We're faith people. We speak faith words. But I want to get this in you tonight. The number two thing, let's put it on the screen again. Number two is, a leader's goal is to pass the test. I loved my daddy. I love my dad. But he just kept disobeying God, disobeying God. You say, well, did God kill him? No. God doesn't kill anyone. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But let me tell you something. If you break the laws of man, nature, and God, you just kill yourself. You get out there and jump off the arch and say, I'm a man of God. People get helped. I'm going to jump off the arch. No, Jesus said, and he answered with the word. Remember when the enemy devil stole him, said, jump off of this building. The Lord will protect you unless you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus replied. Watch Jesus defeat the devil with the word. He said, he spoke the word to him and said, it is written. Don't tempt the Lord your God. So when the enemy comes in, like with my dad, it was a confusing time for me at that point because I'm new in the ministry. It's 2003. I don't know what's going on. There's a little bit of heaven and a whole lot of hell, and I'm foggy, but I had the word of the Lord. Whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're going through, I'm telling you what, here's the bottom line. You're going to go through, so go through not whimpering and being afraid. Go through knowing that God will provide and pass the test. You say, well, how do you pass the test? Here's the key. This will solve all your problems right here. That's it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. They ran out of wine. They didn't know what to do. Mary said, I'll get Jesus, my son, to multiply it. He'll provide. He'll provide. Jesus, I'm sure, is like, I don't want to do this. She said, hey, he's going to do it. I know he is. Because he loves me. He's just going to do it. But whatever he tells you to do, just do it. So they put all this water in buckets and they're walking towards the king and they're looking at still water, it's still water, it's still water. The king's going to get mad because he's lit and he wants more wine. It's still water. And right before it got to him, the water turned into wine. See, God is never early, but he's never late. He's right on time. We don't understand oftentimes what is going on in the spirit realm, but here's the key. The test that he's put you through right now, or that you're going through right now, this test of obedience, will you trust me? Will you put it on the altar? But God, I don't know. You don't know what? You don't know the Lord? The Lord's going to take care of you. And he's not only going to take care of you. Here's the cool thing about God. He's going to take care of you in grand style. You're going to come out smelling like a rose because he provides it. And before we go to step three, number three, I'll say this. If I were you, I'm not you. Clearly I'm me. But if I were you, I would always stay in a church where the Holy Spirit speaks to the priest. If you go to a church and the guy's real dead and he doesn't believe in, you know, God doesn't speak, that passed away, get the heck out of there. Get in a place where a guy actually believes that Jonah got swallowed by a whale.
Well, I believe that's true. I don't believe this.
You just believe it. Get with one that's not so overeducated that he's stupid. Get with one that doesn't confuse. This isn't a confusing book. God didn't write this book and say, I'm going to try to confuse the heck out of everybody. I'm going to write a book that nobody can understand. No, this is very easy to understand and apply. So whatever, so I always got to speak to me. He has through his spoken word tonight and through his written word each and every day. So I encourage you to be the best you that you can be. Be the church and be on fire and just trust God. Just trust him and pass the test. My dad would still be alive today if he'd have just obeyed God. Yeah, you shouldn't die at 56 years old. That's stupid. Especially when a lot of people love you. It's just dumb. I refuse to die at 56 years old. I refuse to die at 60. I refuse to die at 70. I'm not going till I'm satisfied, because I read in the book and it said that we could live till we're satisfied. So I'm clearly not satisfied. I'll let you know when I'm satisfied, but I am not satisfied. Joshua and Caleb was 120 years old and their natural senses were not abated. People in the Bible still having children, y'all, at 100 years old. Clearly, you are not built to die this early. Don't buy into, well, I'm just getting old, my memory's going, I'm just getting old. No, you're buying into the Big Macs and all the stupidity. Buy into what God buys into. Drink water, eat green, do good, obey the Lord, pass the test, and you'll live with longevity and be healed and listen to the Lord. So that didn't really have much to do with my sermon, other than I told you, if I were you, and clearly I'm not you, but don't toy around with where you go to church. Be serious about it. Be fervent. So think about that story again, and let's go to verse number three, the test. Testing always precedes promotion. So think about that. God wants to promote Abraham, so he tests him. Testing always precedes promotion. When God wants to do something new in your life, and clearly he does, this is the year of the open door for Faith Church and you. And for that matter, the whole world. This is a new year of new opportunities that you have never been exposed to, that you have never dreamt possible. This is your year. I believe that. I believe it's your year to overcome that addiction. I believe it's your year to lose the weight. I believe it's your year, but testing always, 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 testing always precedes promotion. So God wants to promote Abraham, so he tests him. He tests him. God, back to my father, because all I have to go on is my life. If I knew your deal, I'd tell it. How many of y'all glad I don't know your deal? I kind of wish sometimes we did do that priest thing where I go behind a wall, listen to your stuff, so I could have more stuff to preach about. How many of y'all glad we don't do that, though? So, my dad, God kept dealing with him year after year. Because, see, you know, when the higher up you are in the chain of command in the spirit and in rank and ministry, the more you're held accountable for. See, when you get to heaven, you won't be held accountable on the same level that I am. I'm held on a total different, biblically, through the epistles, on a total different level than you are. Things that you can do, I can't do. Actually, God would tell me, oh, so if they rob a bank, does that mean you can rob a bank? So God holds you to another level, and then, you know, in Proverbs, if you read Proverbs, it says when the hedge is broken, the serpent bites. And so you get outside of the will of God, and that's when you get in trouble. So the key is, again, remember, to pass the test of success and the test of failure is to just make sure whatever he tells you to do it. Pass the test. Number four, for self-promotion or promotion, what's that?
By other means?
Okay, good. It's on there wrong. By other means can never replace the vine of promotion. So let me break it down for you. A lot of times people try to promote their own business, promote their self. All the time here in this organization, everybody wants to be a leader, but you got to be a good follower first. And you can't push for leadership. If you do, then you'll be in leader slip. You slip because you're not ready for that yet. A lot of times, trust me right now, some of you are right on the edge in being tested for promotion at work or with God, but you're pushing too hard. Have you ever heard good things come to those that, oh yeah, well, you know, you'll find the right guy or the right girl. It'll come when you're not looking. You're out chasing it. Chase God, don't chase the stuff. And then, so when you're trying to promote yourself by other means, it's hard on you and it's hard on everybody. I'll tell you this. Over the past few years, a lot of preachers have told me and book people have told me, oh man, the church is so big and thousands of people come and blah, blah, blah. You need to write a book, and then you write a book, and you can sell the book, and you go on tour to sell the book, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's great. I don't need to sell a book. I got two books that I've pretty much laid out, and they're ready to go, but I've never released them. And people always ask me, what are you doing? Why won't you do that? And here's what happens with me, and I'm not against this. It's okay to promote other people's books and so on, but I just made my own, and I do that for my friends, and that's great, and there might be a day when I ask to do that, but that's not the premise of what the way I want to get the word out. Here's my theory, and you can overlay this in your own life. I figure, let's not try to get on somebody else's TV show and sell the book. Let's not try to get on somebody else's Twitter account to sell the book. Let's just do what God told us to do. And then you'll get to preach every week. See, this week, every weekend, we're preaching to an average now of 100,000 people a weekend. You realize how many people that is? 100,000 people a weekend are watching. So if they're, God did that, and I never try to sell anybody a book. Never try to sell them a DVD. In fact, we offer the DVD for free. How cray-cray is that? So if I were to write a book, when you do it God's way, and again, I'm not saying it's bad to promote other people's books. I'm saying that I do that for people and so on. I'm just saying what I figured, my theory and goal of life was not to try to get somebody else to promote me. I would just keep on doing ministry the way God told me to do it, and I would become popular enough to where the people would like what I had to say. And if I were to sell a book, it'd be a lot easier to do it now with 100,000 people watching your program than through somebody else's Twitter account who probably bought followers anyway. So a lot of this self-promotion is built on image and branding, and I'm cool with image and I'm cool with branding. I'm not preaching against anything. I hope you hear my heart. I'm just saying maybe right now you feel like you're going slower, but you're really going faster. Because when you obey God and it looks like you're about to kill your son, kill your dream, well, God, I didn't want to put it to the test. God, are you really going to take it from me? Maybe he won't, maybe he will, but put it to the test, and then maybe right before he'll say, Abraham, Abraham, there's a ram in the thicket. And you go, whoa, isn't that cool? God's big enough to make your dream come true no matter how old you are. He's big enough to bring you out of nowhere. And I'll quit with this story. Jensen Franklin. I watched him on TV for years. What a man of God. Powerful. My God, he's anointed. When he spits just on a regular day, it smokes. It's like, holy moly, this guy is powerful. He fasts and he prays, you know. And I'd done a couple conferences where he was at, and I just, you know, preaching at different places. And I just asked him one day, hey, man, you come to my church and dedicate the building? Man, I'd love to. I'm like, no way. So he showed up here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Jensen Franklin, dream come true. Check this out. This is really cool. And opportunity comes up to where one of our donors who has this jet airplane, he needs to go down south. And so Jensen was having some kind of meeting with these missionaries. And so I got to land in Gainesville, Georgia, where his church is at. They flew me down there and landed, no expense to me or anybody, just on this jet. I got off, and I thought, man, we're flying in. Red clay, no people. I thought, well, we must be a long way from Jensen's church. We must be out in the sticks. Well, we were out in the sticks, but so is his church. Talking, think of St. Clair, Missouri, or Dittmer. Anybody ever Dittmer? Okay, Dittmer is Gainesville. The driver's driving me to the church to meet with Jensen, and I'm going, there are no people here. There's nothing here. And all of a sudden, we come up on this huge 3,000-seat building, about 500 seats more than this. It's packed out. I'm like, holy mackerel, what's going on? And when I was driving, this old guy was at the church at Free Chapel, and he said, yeah, you see that church in that Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yeah. He goes, that's where Jensen took over. He took over that church when there's about 80 people there, and he started prophesying. We all thought he's crazy. He said he's going to preach to the whole world from right here, from the red clay at Gainesville. See that church? I'm like, you're kidding me. Yeah, and then we pull up on this monster church, and I go, why? Huh? I could see God doing this in Atlanta. I could see God doing this in Dallas. But do yourself a favor sometime and go to Gainesville. But don't blink, because you'll pass it. But this crazy little fasting, Holy Ghost-led guy began to pray and began to preach, and he got a group of people behind him, and they took it to the whole wide world. And I'm telling you right now, this is the year of the open door. I haven't heard the Lord speak like this, this clear, for this long of a period of 3 hours in a long time. This is your year. This is your year for promotion. Why? God wants to promote you so we can reach all the errands out there that they would not know what to do if it wasn't for people who do know what to do, and we know what to do, which is to bring Jesus, the healer, on the scene and change lives. Come on, somebody.